jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it's the end of the week. It means it's time to talk with a couple of people here in studio with me about the events of the week. And, of course, last week we had candidate for District 5, no party affiliate, Josh Robertson. Today we have Stephen Berry, who is the county commission incumbent for 12 years in District 5. And I think it's... Did I ever have you on the show maybe 8 or 9 years ago one time in connection with an election? I know we did the debate a couple of years ago, but I don't think I've had you on the show in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Nice to be back.
Great to have you back, sir. And good friend, longtime rap participant Jeremy Evans, former head of things in the Republican Party here in Escambia County. And now just, Jocelyn's husband.
Yep, just Jocelyn's husband.
Welcome back. We've had a big week this week, all kinds of stuff going on. I wanted to start with this because it's stuff that we've been talking about this week, and of course it's relevant to you, Commissioner. The issue about swearing in public meetings has suddenly become, I don't know, with Santa Rosa County, we had somebody got escorted out of the meeting yesterday, Chris Kerb, flood defenders, for swearing. Larry Downs Jr. has had this, you guys have had this kind of back and forth issue about swearing in the meeting, and of course he got escorted. I mean, escorted is a little bit strong, but you know, the police officer or the sheriff's office deputy walked over and they walked away, okay?
Yeah.
I've had a conversation about this, and what I think the Supreme Court has ruled is if they're not disrupting the meeting, like with tambourines and shouting, they're probably okay, even though I hate to see profanity in the public meeting. So I wanted to hear from you about kind of your thinking about where you think the line is. And, I mean, are you worried he's going to bring a lawsuit against the county?
I mean, I believe the line is profanity. That's what that's what the county attorney has advised me. One of the, you know, we read a disclaimer where, you know, kind of a preface before board meetings and public forum where part of the language is, you know, profane remarks or any conduct that's disruptive to the orderly conduct of the meeting. So, you know, to me, that reads as profane remarks or any conduct that's disruptive to the orderly conduct of the meeting. And, you know, profanity is certainly profane remarks. And, you know, specifically the other day, and it has been a little bit of back and forth. And, you know, I love Larry. I've known Larry a long time. You know, October is Disability Employment Awareness Month. And so we happen to have a lot of guests in the audience. We had four businesses and organizations that were receiving awards for their advocacy and their effective work for folks with special needs and keeping them and getting them into the workforce. And so we had a lot of guests in the audience, and some of those guests, young people and, people with different abilities. And, I'd like to see good behavior from everyone, that being the people that are speaking at the podium, as well as the board members on the dais, ideally. The profanity, I don't think that's appropriate. I mean, the content of what you say, speaking disparagingly about board members, that's certainly protected and those things. And
they never do that though.
Well, but that's okay. that's part of the, you know, that's part of the job. That part's okay. But the profanity or the yelling, you know, the extremely loud voice. I mean, those are two things that I think there's a line that exists there.
So the interesting thing, like I'm in broadcasting, right? There are certain words I cannot say on the air. Though George Carlin said there were 7, there's actually no such list. But you know which words you can't say, okay? There are other words I can say that are what we might call soft imprecations or, you know, hell, damn, ass, things like that. I can say that. And you don't throw people out for saying those words. So how do you like that line is hard to figure out, or maybe it's not. Maybe you think, you know, FCC kind of violations would be kind of the line. I actually agree with you about yelling because that would qualify as disrupting. But Jeremy, thoughts about, look, I want a meeting where people aren't swearing.
Yeah.
But some people, the reason profanity exists, ideal case, is because it's hard to find substitute expressions that really carry the meaning, weight, and emotion of certain words. And so I don't know. I think we lose this case at the Supreme Court, frankly. It's never been decided, but I think we lose this case.
I think it's possible. I think you and I have had this conversation many times. I think we need to be doing what we can to push towards a more civil society.
Amen.
Than a less civil society. And if it is something that somebody, And it's kind of, you mentioned the seven words, I was going to go to the Supreme Court case on pornography. You know it when you see it, that there is a point where somebody is pushing the line. And then I would venture to say that not all the time, but many of the times, the person who's going to use that language is looking for the fight about the language.
Yep.
And they're trying
and fighting
to,
words, you know, provocative words toward, those are obviously prohibited
and
as well.
So I think that if you have people who are participating in the process, my daughter's 10, relatively soon, I am going to start taking her to a county commission meeting.
Why don't you like your daughter?
I want her to
understand
how our civil process works. And I will tell anybody and everywhere that everybody knows who their president is. Most people don't know who their county commissioner is, and their county commissioner is going to—
I don't think anybody knows who Stephen Barry is, honestly. Well, if we're
the county commissioner is somebody who affects their life much more than the president does.
Yes, absolutely.
And let's go to a county commission meeting, because I know I have been advocating for something before, and if the county commission has three people speaking and all three of them are speaking in favor or against something, all they can assume is everybody is speaking on one way or the other. So I believe that I want to take to my 10-year-old daughter, 11-year-old daughter soon, and there is a certain decorum that I would hope that would happen. Now, does it mean, is it constitutional, is it unconstitutional? I would say you can act in a certain manner until you're told you can't act in a certain manner, but there's going to be people who push the limit to push the limit.
And that's got a history in First Amendment law, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, First Amendment pushing and political speech, like the core of the First Amendment is political speech, religious speech and political speech. Of course, religion, not particularly the issue here. But if somebody, though I dislike it, it's disliked speech that it protects. And I'm not sure that we need to, I hate to say this out loud, but is the 8-year-old's virgin ears the standard for what can be allowed in a county commission meeting? You said the attorney, Allison Rogers, has advised you that this is where we need to be as a county?
Yeah, that the profanity is not protected speech, and I consider—
But again, that kind of profanity, though.
I don't consider that soft profanity. I mean, I consider that profanity, but—
But those ones you allow, like if somebody says hell, you don't throw them out of the meeting for that.
Mr. Downs wasn't asked to leave the podium the first time that he said what he said either.
Correct.
If someone repeatedly said that, I don't care for that either. I don't care for, you know, for the, you know, the other 4-letter word you mentioned. I just, you know, within about 6 months of taking office years ago, I was I got an unfriendly phone call from a friendly folk that reminded me that the meetings would exist forever. That just remember, these meetings are— they're videoed and they're going to exist forever, Steve.
Yeah.
And your kids one day, this is before I had children, but your kids one day will be able to, they'll be able to watch these. So just keep that in mind. He didn't say any more than that.
And it's a good note. Yeah.
But I was reminded of that. And I think that some of us, you know, ought to be reminded of that at times.
I would also say that there's also some room for context while not at a county commission meeting. Books and language at school board meetings has been a
and
very huge topic, and somebody will read from the book to describe this is a situation.
And state law actually protects them in reading the vulgar material in the book, because the argument is if they can't read it, it shouldn't be in the library. Yeah. And so it's actually protected speech under Florida law now.
And I would say that there is some context as to what the speech is at the time. And if they were— you get into some gray areas, but again, it's one of the situations that I feel like, you know, somebody's coming, they're trying to push them to the line, you give them a warning to say, hey, sir, we don't allow that kind of language. You give them the opportunity, you know, maybe it's the first time you use it a warning, second time, hey, man, we're going to toss you out if you do it again, and strike three, you're out. I think that you've given somebody a lot of rope there to kind of understand what the purpose is, and then at that point, it's somebody who's just trying to—
I will also say this. There are an awful lot of people who shout and yell about their First Amendment rights who I'm not sure fully understand that there are some limits, the justification for running an orderly meeting, for example, with time limits and things like that, that, and you know, frankly, a lot of times we give people more opportunity than just their raw First Amendment rights guarantee them, and they still scream and kick for more. That's okay. But that doesn't mean that they're right about that. Switching gears a little bit, another topic that's been really in the news lately, and we've talked about it so many times on the air, it'd be unfair not to ask you for your perspective on it. I've been kind of, I think for 3 or 4 weeks, we've been talking about the $90 million bond issue that the TDC authorized to move forward to you guys to vote on, which you have not yet, to what, put $30 million to the Bay Center and $60 million, do I have those numbers right? I think I'm right about that, for the sports facility in Ashton-Brosnahan Park. Two things on this subject that have repeatedly come up. Number one, with Commissioner Burgosh being voted out so decisively, with your race yet to be decided, and with, you know, I guess Ashley's in there now, so that kind of changes a little bit, but we've got a new person coming on District 1 for sure. Wait until after the election has been my push. Wait until after everybody's seated. And number two, the location. It seems like a terrible location. Maybe it would be better at OLF8. Maybe it would be better at, somebody's put on Escambia Citizens Watch that at the, what is the acronym? The NEPA park, the disabled park on 9 Mile. Not NEPA. That's not the right word for it. The
Northeast, you know, the NEP park.
Yeah, the John NEP, R. Jones. That's right. NEP
John park. R. Jones is the actual name of it.
Yeah,
yes,
that, yeah. That, even though it already has existing structures, that would be kind of an ideal, like right off of 9 Mile, and maybe put the NEP park stuff up at Ashton-Brosnahan instead. So thoughts on either the waiting, especially on such a big thing, and or the location?
You know, one of the things when you're running for office, you have the opportunity to say, well, if I was in office, I would do this, this, and this. And when you're in office, you have the opportunity to say, well, you know, I've taken action on this, or this is how I've actually, you know, this is how I've actually behaved. You know, so to ask my opinion on it, you know, I'm currently the chairperson, and, you know, the chairperson does have discretion over agendas, and there's a reason the item wasn't agended. So there's that. That's answering part of your question.
Yep, yep.
And as far as the location, what's important is, I think that we've found through the feasibility studies most recently, as well as ones previously procured, that we have a tremendous market for sports tourism. You know, whether, you know, this specifically was talking about basketball and volleyball, I think that expands to softball and baseball. We've got a tremendous market for sports tourism. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. It's a matter of location, and that's what you're saying. There hadn't been another site that was proposed. You know, the TDC did work through this process for over a year, and there were not alternative sites, you know, kind of discussed there at that time. So I think the folks that we contracted with to do the study, they did the work that they were asked to do, which they were asked to evaluate Ashton-Brosnahan. If some of the discussion is, you know, a larger project at the Bay Center, I'm open-minded to that discussion. If some of the discussion is a larger, you know, a larger kind of enhancement at Northeast Pensacola or John R. Jones Park on 9 Mile, I think that's a great idea. That's where I grew up playing. So I'm certainly fond of that area. So I think there's a lot of discussions that are left to be had, which is why I think it was appropriate to come for discussion to our board once we have a full seated board, you know, later in November or into December. But I think what's important is that.
And I appreciate that, by the way, because that's what I've been pushing for, too, is let's wait until the new board is seated. So I'm glad that seems to be the decision.
The largest, or one of, if not the largest, athletic event that we host in Northwest Florida is the SEC Soccer Tournament, which is at Ashton-Brosnahan. That's going to be next weekend. And so, and you and I've talked about this before, and I think we didn't talk about it on the air, but you talked about it the next week. We always wait for perfect in Escambia County. That's why the Tech Park has been vacant since 2004, never anything built there. The Civic Center has been waiting for some decision, and we've been putting paint over something forever. OLF8 has been out there for how long because it's never quite perfect. The Maritime Park, the city council has entered into potential agreements with how many people because we're waiting for perfect because there's too many people who can find a problem with a plan and say this plan doesn't work because of this. And then the next plan, it doesn't work because of this. And the next plan, it doesn't work because of this. And we never move the ball forward at all. And sometimes we may have to take good or okay to get a first down instead of a Hail Mary touchdown on our first opportunity, because all we're doing right now is punting the ball down the field every opportunity.
And I'm very sympathetic to that. The one thing I would say is in this particular case, it was the bundle. You know, I think you'd have no problem getting support for funding for improvements to the Bay Center versus the cost of some entirely new facility, which is outrageous, right? It's the putting of them both together as a single item instead of treating them as separately because, you know, it's a twice as expensive item on top of a one item that you win with, and the other one is the controversial one. But I see what you said, you've only got to vote on what you've got in front of you.
I would also say the people who opposed it at TDC are the same people who had a similar proposal on the old ECUA ground several years ago that they couldn't get funding for, and now a different group has gotten funding for a similar project in a different place. And how much of it is
Pensacola, there's memories and grudges and who got which win. Stop it. That is totally not true.
Yeah, the bundling part, I mean, the bundling part is important to me. We're only going to have an opportunity. You know, the placement of a debt like this, we're collateralizing cash flows that won't change tremendously. Hopefully, we have increases over the years. But
as long as tourism stays and no BP oil spill.
Yeah, as long as those things. So we're
I have my fingers crossed. You can't see it, but yeah.
So we're fully collateralizing those cash flows. So it is most likely a singular debt placement, and I think the bundling aspect is important. Now, what comprises that bundle and how that bundle is split up, I think, is what's going to be negotiated. But I think the bundling is important. If a larger project at the Bay Center, that's reasonable to me. You know, I've been, you know, ecstatic with the partnership that we've developed with the Sunbelt Conference. We just extended their contract last week at the board meeting. We extended the SEC contract. Those are both
huge, big wins, right?
Both huge wins that 10 years ago, you couldn't have convinced my son. Jeremy's a huge sports fan, and you couldn't have convinced us that we would have been able to host those type of tournaments 10 years ago. So those are huge wins. So what comprises the bundle?
I was really bothered by the prospect of having this vote before the board changes. I'm still not sure I'm on board with the bundled vote even after the board changes, but I'm a lot less uncomfortable with it because particularly of the election being so volatile and shifts in the board. Last thing before, we're totally out of time, the World Series is tonight. It is the Dodgers versus the Yankees. You played baseball.
Yeah.
Neither of these are your team, though. Who do you think is going to win?
So, one of my best friends is a diehard.
We got like 10 seconds.
Yeah, diehard. He's a diehard Yankees fan, so I'm going to pull for the Yankees for my buddy Dale Allen in Tampa. So.
Jeremy?
I think it's the Dodgers. I'm interested to see the ratings to see how successful can baseball be.
Tommy Edman is a former Cardinal long time, so I might soft pull for the Dodgers, but I really can't pull for either team.